Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله today we're going to speak about يعني a simple topic that يعني a person be or becomes true to himself, doesn't lie to himself, doesn't deceive himself, and he looks at life through reality and he looks at him as reality. And many times people have ego, they have pride, is because they look at themselves different to what they really are. At the end of the day, you are a weak creation. There's nothing strong about a human being. The human being, you put him against the majority of animals on earth, he'll lose. Even a spider, how small is a spider? You put him in a cage and chuck a spider in there, you see the human being jumping up and down trying to get away. Why? Because the reality is the human being is fragile. He's in a weak stature, even though he's perfect, but he's very fragile. You know, he can fall over, bump his head, and that could be the end. That's how easy he could die. But the human being is very fragile. And the knowledge of how much a human being can gain is also very limited. And even, subhanAllah, we think we know things, but the reality, we don't. And we tend to think that we can suppress feelings that we can't. Like, for example, fear. We think, you know, yeah, I'm strong. I can, you know, suppress my fear. But if someone comes to attack you, you get scared. Why? Because the human being, he has to understand his flaws, his limitations. So a person, he has to look towards himself and understand who am I. What has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me about myself? How strong am I as a human being? That's why Allah, he put muharramat, things that are haram, and also the things that lead to haram, because Allah knows the weakness of the human being. For example, desire and temptation is a huge weakness of a human being. He leans towards desire and temptation. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded for you to stay away from certain things, not just commit them, to stay away from them. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, don't come near zina. In regards to alcohol, فَاشْتَنِبُوا, stay away from it. Same thing with gambling, فَاشْتَنِبُوا, stay away from it. Keep far away, don't come close to it. Why? Because the human being has this temptation. Or money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the weakness of the human being is it could be wealth. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, the piling up of this world diverts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the human being, he has to know his limitations. Where his weaknesses are, where his flaws are. And be truthful and never put your faith to the test. You find people, they put their iman to the test. They want to see how far they can go. Don't do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you that you have weakness and you lean towards desire. So then tempt yourself. And look to what you've put forth. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about all the blame of shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah. Oh, you believe fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waltandur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. And let every soul look towards himself what he has brought forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats again. Wattaqullah. And fear Allah. The uniqueness of this verse is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to fear him in the beginning of the verse. Oh, you believe fear Allah. And let every soul look to what he's brought forth. Look towards himself, what he's doing, what he's pushing forth. And fear Allah again. Yani double fear Allah. Fear Allah from the beginning of your life to the end of your life. Fear Allah from the beginning of the day to the end of your day. From the top of you to the bottom of you. Fear Allah in every situation, every scenario of your life. Not just one side, from both sides. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even emphasizing even more the fear of Allah. Look towards yourself and see what you put forth, what you're doing. And look and know your reality of where your limits are. Don't push yourself. And many people, they push themselves and like, you know, I'll be fine, I'll be alright. That's not being real to yourself. Understanding what's haram, you're never an exception. People sometimes think the haram is not an exception. It's an exception to them, but not an exception to others. Meaning, They're allowed to do haram. If they're businessmen, you know what? We're allowed to deal with interest. We're allowed to deal with riba because we're businessmen. That's not being true to yourself. That's not being real to yourself. But when you see someone commit something haram, you see a person on drugs. You look at him and you're disgusted. Look at this person, look how evil he is. But the reality is your sin is more evil than him. The sin of riba is more evil than him. That's how serious, that's not being truthful to yourself. The sin of riba is more than the sin of zina. More than the sin of drugs. But you happily give yourself that exception. Just because it's not a red collar or dark collar sin, meaning it's not a sin that, you know, is apparent on a person. It's not like a taroo. It's not like drugs. You know, it's not like zina. You know, the person doesn't look like a shaitan. He can look like the most humblest, God-fearing person on the face of this earth. But his sin with Allah is worse than all those that we mentioned. The blue-collar sin, they call it. Because you can be neat. You can appear to be humble. You can even pray, go to Hajj and do all those things. But the Prophet ﷺ said the lower branch of it is like zina with a person's mother. This is the lowest branch of it. The least of it. But being truthful to yourself is knowing that your reality is that you're worse than a lot of these crooks and criminals out there. That's being truthful to yourself. That's looking yourself in the mirror and understanding that this is how I'm truthful. This is me. This is my haram. I'm worse than that person on drugs. I'm worse than that zani. I'm worse than that thief. I'm worse than that, you know, person backbiting and slandering. I'm worse than them. Because I'm committing more of a major sin. But who does that? If not, they look at themselves and they say, you're helping the Muslim community. You're, mashallah, a businessman. You're very well respected. You know, people smile at you when you walk to the masjid. People pat you on the back. This is lies. Because these don't count when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say, ya Allah, I got a pat on the back when I used to come to the masjid. So I thought everything that I'm doing is okay and alright. Just because no one criticizes your sin, does not mean it's not a sin. Many times, we commit a sin, we look right, we look left, no one said anything. SubhanAllah, a sister hijab goes back, keeps going back. The clothes start getting loose, getting tighter. No one says anything. That means it's okay. So automatically, because no one said anything, we take it one step further, to the point where no one talks. We think, you know what, that means it's okay. That's not how a sin is judged. Being truthful to yourself is comparing it and saying, okay, this is what Allah wants, this is what I'm doing, this is where I am, and this is what I need to be. I need to get closer to Allah. I'm moving away. It's tight, it's got to become loose. My hijab is back, it's got to come forth. My dress code is not right, my salah is not right, my deen is not right, my knowledge is not right, I've got to improve myself, I've got to push forward. Not, okay, so what's everyone else doing? Everyone else is weak? Everyone else, no one's saying anything? Oh well, okay, that means everything is fine. Never in the history of our religion, in the history of mankind, in the history of the prophets, was ever the approval of people distinguishing that which is halal and distinguishing that which is haram. Never. And never did the status of the people. People forget, Fir'aun was popular among his people. He was popular. Yeah, he was a tyrant, but he wasn't a tyrant necessary to, you know, the people around him. Yes, he was tyrant to Bani Israel, he was tyrant to certain tribes. But in general, the people loved him. And in general, he may have been a good guy to hang out with. But it still made him the worst tyrant of all times because he caused oppression. So therefore, we look at and think to ourselves that, you know what? You know, people say, for example, Hitler. Yeah, he was an evil person. But to his party and to his followers, you know, he was like, you know, almost a prophet. Whatever he said, they followed. No one told him, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Obviously, he did not do all those killings himself. He commanded them. People had to follow that command. That means he had followers. He had people ready to die for him. But that testimony of his followers, what do you think? Oh yeah, you know what? He's a good guy. You know what? We follow him. That's not a testimony that he's a good person. He was, again, in this era, he was the most evil of evil people. So it's never a testimony, because the little group of people around you say, that's good, you're great. It means that you're on the right path. You have to be truthful to yourself. And no one wants khair for you. No one would ever say, you know what, you're doing wrong. Only the brother that loves you for Allah's sake and wants the good for you would say, akhi, you're doing something haram. Fear Allah, no embarrassment. Fear Allah. You're doing something wrong. I'm advising you for Allah's sake. You want to listen, listen. You want to listen, that's between you and Allah. That's the friend that you want. Not a person that pats you on the back, subhanAllah, every time that you do something haram, you do something wrong. But a person, he also has to know that me as a believer, I have to look myself in the mirror, stare myself in the eyes, and say to myself, where are you with Allah? Are you with Allah? Are you with the dunya, with shaitan? Who are you with? Are you from the party of Allah? Or are you from the party of the shayateen? Be truthful. A person is truthful to himself. When he does a sin, he rectifies that sin. He's got remorse. He straightens himself up. As the Prophet, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions about the people that made tawbah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. See, these are three things that I mentioned. This is sort of the key of, are you really truthful to yourself? Do you make tawbah? Do you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you fix yourself up? You know? وَأَصْلِحُوا. They fix themselves up. وَأَصْلَحُوا. They fix themselves. They don't stay crooked. And they make it known. It's shown. It's seen. It's seen. وَبَيَّنُوا. بَيَّنُوا. They'd seen. In their actions. It's seen in their remorsefulness. They regret what they've done. Not a person is still walking prideful. He's committed the sin. He's humbled by it. It's changed him as a person. He's coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's seen it in his actions. He goes to the people. He's hurt. He's oppressed. He's apologized. He's repented. He's fixed himself up. And he's made that known. And he's shown to the people. That is how a person... he's not lying to himself. And know that you will slip and you will fall and you will make mistakes and you will make error and you will fall into haram. But the difference is the one that repents and the one that doesn't repent. That's the difference. That's the bottom line. The one that repents versus the one that does not repent. Isa. So that's where the bottom line comes. That a person, when he looks himself in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see someone lying to yourself every day? You're strong. You're hectic. You're good. You're a good person. You're a great person. Or a person that looks to himself and says, man, I've really got a lot of work. I got a lot of things I need to fix up. I got a lot of things I need to straighten up. I listen to more movies than I listen to lectures. I listen to more ta'hanek and vain talk than I listen to the Quran. I talk too much to people rather than remind people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a lot of faults I have and I need to improve on. If you don't do that, then how are you ever going to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But this constant lie that you have to yourself, the one that really, for example, the one that I find, subhanAllah, fascinating, is the one that thinks to himself that the money he's made and the business he's, or the empire he's built or whatever, is because of his own work. I'm so smart. I built this business. You know, I built this company. I built it up. Look, now it turns over $1 million or whatever a year from me. Because I'm smart. And I mean, there's more people more smarter than you, that had more money than you, that are broke. Because they had that mentality. They moved away from the reliance of Allah. That money only came because of Allah's permission. That's it. Person, yes, you know, I've made it. One supplier, one customer, his biggest customer, the 70% of his business, turns around and says, I'm not buying from you anymore. His business is ruined. So what happened? Mr. Smart Businessman, you know, you were the one thinking it was all you, it was all you. And now he's in ruin. Why? He should know that's from Allah. Allah gave him that permission. Or he falls sick. He gets hit with an illness, with a chronic illness. He's no longer, he's unable to work, unable to function. Or this day and age, he has all the money in the world. He just built a house. He tells people, come see my house. Look, three-story house. Got an elevator. Goes up and down. You know, he puts all these feeds on the internet. Look at my house. All these update videos. And people are throwing an on him left, right, and center. My house. Look at my house. Look at my house. Doesn't take much for a wife to divorce you and take your house. Doesn't take much at all. Doesn't take much. Akhi, what happened to your house? Got divorced. Why? What happened? You forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it can happen to someone as a test, but the person that is with Allah and that happens to, he knows that it's with Allah. It came from Allah and Allah took it. So he's martah, whatever. I'll live in a shoebox. I don't care. To me, it was just bricks and just wood. I had some money, I built it. I lost it, I lost it. It came from Allah and it went away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, that's contentment. But the person that always thinks, I did it and I did it and I worked hard and I did it and I did it and it was me, when he loses it, that's when he falls into depression. That's when he falls into what happened. That's why the person on the day of judgment, the evil person, what did he say? مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةً هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَةً. That my wealth and my power has left me. And my wealth has not benefited me. And my strength and my power has left me. Gone. I haven't got it anymore. It's finished. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to take him and throw him into the hellfire. Halaka anni sultaniya. خذوه فغلوا. Take him. Chuck him into the hellfire. Why? Because his heart was not with Allah. See, when something happens to the believer, you got two people. One's a believer and with his heart's with Allah. And one's a, you know, shaky, thinks everything to himself, lies to himself every day. The same thing happens to both of them. Same thing. The one that's with Allah is content. He's happy. He's a murdi. He's happy to whatever comes to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Satisfied. Came from Allah. Allah gave it to me. And Allah decided to take it away from me. And whatever gives me, alhamdulillah, whatever Allah takes, alhamdulillah. He's happy. But the one that everything came to him and then it was taken away from him, he's the one that gets affected to the point that he even might decrease his status, even maybe lead him to kufr if he starts to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, why me? What did I do? I'm a good person, I got a good heart. Why me? Why me? Why me? How come me? Why'd you do this to me? Why'd you embarrass me? وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ أَهَانًا. And when Allah takes some of the risk that Allah gave him, so Allah gave him, and then Allah takes away some of that blessing, or he takes away that blessing that Allah gave it to him originally, what does he say? He says, Allah has humiliated me. قَالَ رَبِّ أَهَانًا. Allah has humiliated me. See, words of disbelief start to come out. You're accusing Allah of humiliating you. You're displeased with Allah's qadr. Why, ya Allah, have you done this to me? A person loses his status, while the person that fears Allah would say, you know, it's from Allah, alhamdulillah. Allah knows what is best for me. I don't know, I've never seen anyone that has gathered wealth and gathered wealth and gathered wealth and think that's only from him and his work and his thing. And you know, I did everything and I built this and I built that and was satisfied. If not, some of them even committed suicide. Why? No contentment in the heart, no happiness in the heart. But when a person, his heart is with Allah, when his wealth goes up, his wealth goes down. His wealth goes up, his wealth goes down. He's content. It is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah has given me this. A person, he has a choice. Understand his limitations, understand where he is, and be truthful. Don't lie. We're lagging behind Allah in our actions of good. There's so much more we can do. Comes to the masjid, takes out 20 bucks, and subhanAllah, like, he's trying to give the money so no one sees it. Walks up to the donation box, chucks it in. $20. Well, reward him, $20. But he's got 50 grand in his pocket. And he wants to feel happy to himself that he gave. Like, he can't even get a fruit cocktail with $20 these days. He wants to feel happy that he gave $20. Habibi, the person before you that only had $500 in his account gave $500. That's the person before you. That's the one that just probably gave before you. He gave everything that he had. Or the mother that, yani, subhanAllah, has children, she could be widowed or whatever it may be. She's just given thousands of dollars to the masjid. She sold her gold and she's given it to the masjid. Or she's given it for Allah's sake. And you come and you want to be content, you gave $20. What for? If you're not going to give your email, what for? That's to yourself. No one knows, between you and Allah. But how are you going to look yourself in the mirror that you gave a cocktail drink to the masjid? When you're worth millions of dollars, or Allah has blessed you with so much wealth. And you want to be happy with yourself? You want to smile with yourself? Now what's $20 going to do to the masjid other than, alright, we'll buy some bags of toilet paper? That's the truth. And what I'm saying, yeah, alright, give. But don't be happy with yourself. Don't feel like you did something. Don't you feel, oh, yes, he comes, he's driving, I gave $20. He's happy, I'm absurd. Like, you know, he's over the moon that he gave that you know, $20 for Allah's sake. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Yes, you gave. Yes, there's reward. But you could have given a lot more and it wouldn't have affected you one bit. That's the thing that kills sometimes, that people can give wealth and it does not even affect them or scratch them one bit. But they hold back. Loose change, whatever they can find, just chuck it. Or they give it for Allah's sake. I gave sadaqah today. You embarrass yourself today. You embarrass yourself. I'm talking about you looking at yourself, you judging yourself. Can you live with that? Can you live with that? Can you accept that for yourself? If you were stricken with poverty and you had a wife and kids, and there was only one person you can go to for help, and you went to him, he said to him, please, Mr. Millionaire, give me some money. And he took out $5 and he gave it to you. Would you accept that? You wouldn't. So why do you accept it on yourself? Give what your email is. That's your email. That represents you. And you give, you feel more happy. The more you give, the more happy you feel for yourself. That's between you and Allah. You give a dollar, you give 10. There's reward there. But I'm saying for yourself to feel contentment and happiness. But don't lie to yourself as if you've done something great. Give yourself a pat on the back. I don't have to pray my sunnah prayers today. I gave $20 to the masjid. I don't have to fast on Monday. Inshallah, I gave. Don't lie to yourself. The more actions that you do for Allah's sake, the more actions, the better reward there is. Don't make exceptions to your actions. Don't make conditions upon your actions. Do something, do it for Allah's sake. You close your eyes and you do it. That's being truthful to yourself. Or when you do something for Allah's sake, here's one, here's the interesting one. You got a business. Alright, you own a shop. Poor man comes in. He wants to buy some food, rice for his family, this and that. It comes to a total of, you know, $50. You realize that this person's situation is very bad. You know, he could be come from overseas, could have a debt, whatever it may be. You know, you look at his car, it's run down, it's rusted. His situation is very hard. Might have some kids that are, you know, subhanAllah, special needs, whatever. His situation is not good. Then for Allah's sake, you put it to his heart, I'm going to help this guy. I'm going to help you. Brother, here you are. Take it for Allah's sake. Take it for Allah's sake. I'm giving you these bags. I don't want nothing from you. And then the brother, he leaves. He goes. Your intention was to give it to him for what? For Allah's sake. That's where your intention began, and that's where your intention stopped. It stopped for Allah's sake, and Allah's sake only. Then, the next day, the brother comes back with a bunch of coins. He says, Akhi, listen, I went home, and I gathered whatever coins I got, and alhamdulillah, like, I've got the money, and I want to pay for yesterday. We're like, oh, if you've got the money, all right, thank you, Jazakallah khair. You've done yourself a huge injustice. Why? Because you could have been towards or leaning towards Jannah, and now you're just leaning back towards wherever you were before. Why? Because you wrecked your intention. The worst thing you can do is rectify a clear and pure intention for doing something for Allah's sake and changing that to trade or to the dunya. The worst thing you can do. And it happened with Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he was teaching Quran. For Allah's sake, he was teaching Quran. He was teaching people the Quran for free, for Allah's sake. And when he finished teaching them the Quran, they came to him and they said, we want to give you this bow and arrow. He said, for me? They said, yes, because you know, you came, you taught us the Quran, so we want to give you this. And he was in need of it. He didn't think much of it, so he took it. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam what he accepted. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, you have accepted a ring of fire around your neck. You have accepted a ring of fire around your neck. Like that bow will be around your neck as a ring of fire. But then there's another narration saying the best earnings is the earnings when someone teaches the Quran. So why is the Prophet telling Ibn Mas'ud that? Because he's teaching Ibn Mas'ud something. And he's teaching the companions something. And teaching us something. That you, when your original intention is for Allah's sake, don't change that. Don't accept payment or anything when your original intention was for Allah's sake. So when you did something for Allah, you do it for Allah. That's the truth. Don't change it. Okay, I don't want nothing from you. Like yesterday, I done it for Allah's sake. Don't make me change my intention today. I want Jannah. Don't take that away from me. That 50, if you really don't want it, go give it in sadaqah. Go give it in my name if you want. But I don't want it. I'm not going to accept it. Or someone owes you money and you've forgiven him. You tell him, I forgive you. For Allah's sake, I forgive you. You forgive, Allah will forgive you. You marry, Allah will marry you on the day of judgment. You forgave the brother. He owes you $1,000. I forgive you. I love you. I don't want nothing from you. A year later, he comes and says, here's $1,000. You've forgiven him. That's your beautiful intention. It's all right, yeah, give it to me. Habibi, he forgave him. Don't accept it. Because your intention was for Allah's sake. You gave it up for Allah's sake. Be truthful to yourself. Don't change that. Keep on the path of paradise. Keep on the path of Jannah. When you do something for Allah's sake, that should lock it. It becomes locked. That's it. You do a job for someone, you pay his house, you tell him, Akhi, for Allah's sake. A month later he comes, Akhi, I want to pay for it. La adana for Allah's sake. I don't want nothing from you. He waves money and you start thinking to yourself, well, I did pay in his house. That's shaitan flashing money at you. Come, I want to change your intention. I want to change your deed. I know you're on the path of paradise now because you've done something for Allah's sake, even though it was small, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered it something huge. But take the money and ruin it and destroy your reward. Tempting. It's a weakness of the human being. So the general thing is when you do something for Allah's sake, it remains for Allah's sake. It does not change. And if you change it, then you change the reward. You change the original intention. It gets flipped. A person be truthful to himself. He knows where he is. He knows his weaknesses. And this is another thing. And we end, inshallah, on this point. If you have a weakness of women, don't put yourself in that environment. If you have a weakness of money, don't put yourself in that environment. If you have a weakness of stealing, don't put yourself in that environment. Know where your limits are. Where your, you know, where you stop. Because if you go further, you'll fall into haram. And make sure you don't cross those boundaries anymore. Many times we like to burst ourselves up. Imagine going into a job interview and telling the person that's interviewing you all the negative stuff, not all the positive stuff. Normally we go in there, yeah, but I'm a good listener. I've got every person's resume. Every single person's resume. What does it say? I have problem solving skills. I've got good communication skills. I've got good teamwork skills. SubhanAllah, everyone's got these three things. I'm a good listener. I'm a good worker. I've been never late. I was always on time. Okay, is that true? Show me your school report. Ahmed was never on time. Ahmed did not work together in a team. Ahmed was always lying. Ahmed this and Ahmed. Oh, Habibi, your report says something else. Like, be truthful to yourself who you really are. I remember once when someone was telling me that a person got the job because he walked in, he told them the truth. He went into the interview and the 10 people before him were sitting there boasting about what they are, what they've done. This person came into the interview and said, listen, you know, sometimes I might run a little bit late, 5 or 10 minutes, but I'll definitely let you know because, you know, I've got kids and that I have to look after and sometimes a bit difficult and I don't sleep. Sometimes I have restless nights. And you know what, in the system you want me to work in, I've had only 1 year experience. I need more experience, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to put in that actual effort. You know, I have to go to Friday prayer, which is an extra half an hour on my lunch break on Fridays, if you don't mind. I do have my prayer times, but I'll be able to work around lunch, you know, in regards to that. And 2 times a year, I might have to go to, Eid or we have a celebration 2 times a year. And if it doesn't fall on a weekend, then, you know, I might have to go and attend. There's a couple little things here and there. I'm always improving myself. I've got some faults, this and that, whatever. The boss accepted him. He employed him over the others. Why? Because this guy's truthful. Because what he mentioned was every human being situation. I've never taken a day off work. It's a lie. Every person's taken a day off work. Oh, I've never been late. Everyone's been late. But he looked at it like, I'd rather employee be honest and truthful with me than lie to me. Because if he's lying to me in the interview, then he's going to lie to me. Have you finished the report? Have you finished your work? Yes, I have. But he hasn't. Did you call that customer back? Yes, I did. And he hasn't. But this person, he found him truthful. So being truthful to yourself and being truthful to others. Being truthful doesn't mean that you're the best person. Doesn't mean that being truthful makes you great. No. Being truthful tells people about your strengths and weaknesses. And it helps a person work around you too. Sometimes on a, you know, we're traveling with brothers or whatever. When we went to Hajj, one brother straight out said, Akhi, listen, look, I've got a very short temper. Please make sure no one presses my buttons. I can't handle it. And I can't sleep with the aircon on. Aircon has to be off. So put me in a room where there's no aircon. Or put me with someone and I snore. Okay, so 3 things we've got to look at so we don't get on these brothers' nerve. He's got a short temper, no aircon, he doesn't sleep with aircon, which makes him sick, and he snores. So we've got to make sure we get him a room by himself. You know, or someone else come in that doesn't like aircon and also snores. They can have a snoring competition together at night. But he's honest. He said everything. You know, I get irritated, this, that, whatever. All right, so... But if he came in and said, yeah, I'm all cool, I'm very easygoing, no problems at all. Within 1 or 2 days, it would have exploded. And the brothers would have exploded at him. In the middle of the night, they'll be shouting at each other. Turn the aircon off. Turn the aircon on. You know, he had those experiences in Hajj. Yeah, you go to sleep, you wake up, you're sweaty. You wake up, you turn the aircon on, you go back to sleep. You wake up another hour later and you're sweaty again. Someone's turned the aircon off. Person being truthful to himself, truthful to others. Why? That's how people, they love a person. When he's reality, he's down to earth. He's truthful and he talks about his positives and he talks about his negatives. But to know that, you have to be truthful to yourself first. and know your limitations and your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wajazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.